Safety, dependability, and power. Chevy Silverado isn't happy unless the work is hard and the day is long. No wonder Silverado is America's number one best-selling retail pickup truck. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and put a Silverado in your toolbox.
It's the WGN Radio Football Podcast.
I will say this. I want to do right by Justin.
Justin Fields takes off, turns a sack into a big gain and a first down. Justin Fields, otherworldly, stays in, steps out. Superman does it again.
I like how they're trying to set the deck in Chicago. It would just have been nice to see Justin Fields come into a situation where the deck would be set and stacked like it is now for whoever the incoming rookie quarterback is going to be.
It's the WGN Radio Football Podcast.
Sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com.
Here's Kevin Powell.
It is episode 85 of the WGN Radio Football Podcast. I'm Kevin Powell. Thank you for tuning in. Big news over the weekend. Justin Fields sent to the Pittsburgh Steelers a six-rounder in 2025 that can turn into a fourth-rounder depending on Fields' playing time. Does it feel like an underwhelming return? Yeah, but when you kind of look at the market, it was never all that great for the Bears. There were reports out there that the Bears had talks with at least four other teams about a possible trade with Fields involved, and his rep said, you know, he didn't prefer those teams. He preferred Pittsburgh, and that's where he ended up. And it was not a great market, but Ryan Poles talked about it at the scouting combine. He wanted to do right by Justin, and it felt like it's time to get it over with. And this was the best offer they can get, and it sounds like Fields, if he had a choice, would have picked the Steelers. That's where he wanted to go if he was going to be moved, and that's where Ryan Poles sent him. So maybe that pays off for Poles down the road, where he did put Justin in a position that, you know, there's a real chance he's going to make some starts for Pittsburgh this year and maybe kind of reset and relaunch his career with the Steelers. Not surprised at all by the move. We were all anticipating a trade at some point. And, you know, going into all of this, a second, maybe a third, that's kind of what a lot of people were thinking. But the way the market shook out with Kirk going to Atlanta, Russ goes to Pittsburgh, Baker stays in Tampa Bay. There were some other moves made with quarterbacks in backup roles. It just was not a great trade market for Justin Fields. But I think it was the right thing to do for Ryan Poles. And I'm okay with the deal. It was time to get something done. The clock was ticking. Poles wanted to do right by Justin, and I think he did with this move. So that was the big news over the weekend. Going to get into it a little bit more with Brad Spielberger from Pro Football Focus. Always some great stuff as well. And just for the record, I've been saying on the radio, really since the beginning, that I always thought the Bears would end up building their stadium in Arlington Heights. It made the most sense. They had purchased the land. And I never really bought the idea of them going back downtown and building on the lakefront. I mean, that's a whole messy situation if they really wanted to go that route, and probably a much more expensive. And a publicly owned stadium, was never really buying into it. And news broke earlier today that Arlington Heights proposing a tax cut compromise for the possible stadium at the Arlington Heights property. That is no surprise to me. This is politics. It's not that surprising. I'll just put it that way. I never bought into the idea that the Bears were going to actually go build on the lakefront. Now, it's not a done deal, but we're seeing the effect of the Bears coming out and saying they do have interest in the lakefront. I wasn't buying it. But Arlington Heights has a counter here, and obviously they don't want to lose the Bears at this point. And I do think when it's all over and everything gets finalized, the Bears will be playing someday in Arlington Heights. That's where I've been at the whole time, and I think it makes the most sense for the Bears as well. All right, let's get into the trade involving Justin Fields to Pittsburgh and kind of look ahead to free agency as well and talk about what the Bears have done this offseason with Brad Spielberger from Pro Football Focus. Joining me once again on the WGN Radio Football Podcast is Brad Spielberger from Pro Football Focus. Follow him on Twitter at @PFF_Brad. And Brad, let's just get right into the Justin Fields trade. It broke Saturday afternoon. And what was your initial reaction to the trade between the Bears and Steelers?
Yeah, I started to hear around the NFL Combine in the weeks after that that the return was not going to be quite as, you know, it was going to be underwhelming to a degree compared to what many thought could be the potential return. But I do think it is true that Ryan Poles genuinely wanted to get him to an opportunity where he could probably push the start and maybe supplant Russell Wilson, you know, go to an area in Pittsburgh where he's not far from Columbus, where he was obviously a college superstar at Ohio State. and just really put him in a position to succeed and grow his game and develop going forward. So, you know, I get there's maybe some frustration over getting a future sixth-round pick that at best is a fourth-round pick, but at the end of the day, I don't think it was really about that. There was no offer with a day-two pick included, as far as my understanding, and I think it was good of him to, you know, recognize what he could do for a player that meant a lot to this building, a lot to this locker room. So at the end of the day, that's really more what I care about stepping back is Justin Fields had a rough draw. It really wasn't Ryan Poles' fault to begin with, but he cared about the player and put him in the best possible place.
And I do want to say that, I don't know if I want to say it bothers me, but I think there are some who, the Fields-Caleb thing got ugly at times on social media, just like everything does on social media, but I think some are piling on a little bit saying, you know, that's the way the rest of the league views Justin Fields. He's just worth a six-round pick. And I'm like, that's really not the case. It's not. Like, it just was a weird trade market. And NFL Network reported that the Bears had talked with four other teams, but it did sound like Fields, if he had a choice, wanted to go to Pittsburgh. It was just a bad market. Pittsburgh knew that, right? And Ryan Poles, I think, wanted to do right by Justin, which he talked about, and it was time to get a deal done. I think, you know, if Russ is going to go into week one as a starter, I think, right, that's the plan. But I think when we look around the NFL landscape going into week one and Justin Fields a backup, which is it's kind of crazy to think that's where we're at. But I think there's going to be a lot of teams around the league that wish they had Justin Fields starting for them week one. So I think there are some out there who might not be a Fields fan and have kind of piled on saying, well, he's just worth a six-round pick. And I'm like, I don't think that's the case here. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong at all. That was the big thing for me was that before I'd spoken with teams about it, when there was just initial reporting of, oh, maybe they could get a first rounder or they'll get a second rounder plus, I said, okay, maybe. But just simply look at the vacancies for starting jobs and even including bridge type jobs, and then look at how many quarterbacks are available, right? You have Kirk Cousins, Baker Mayfield, Gardner Minshew, Jacoby Brissett, like all guys that are good, proven, solid, at least bridge guys, if not clear starters like Kirk and Baker. All right, there's four jobs gone, right? And then in the draft, we're hearing there's going to be four picks in the top six or seven selections, so all four of those teams are not going to be looking to probably trade significant trade capital to go get Justin Fields. So very, very quickly, the list shrunk, right? And so that was the big thing, is that, like you said, it was just a bad market. It was a buyer's market, so to speak, in terms of teams trying to acquire young quarterbacks. But I totally agree. The upside for Justin Fields compared to all the other names I just mentioned, plus, you know, your Mac Joneses and the rest of the guys that got moved, Sam Howell and Kenny Pickett obviously vacating the spot for Justin, none of those guys have an upside in the same stratosphere as Justin Fields. So go to Pittsburgh, work with Arthur Smith, who obviously revitalized Ryan Tannehill's career, and I'm with you. I think there's going to come a time, maybe next season, maybe after that, where some teams say, you know, if the price is equal, we probably should have gone after the guy who's maybe the most talented guy in the field some Sundays, as opposed to a safer option like the names I just mentioned.
For sure. And, you know, I wish Fields the best. I think he was a pro, you know, from day one here in Chicago. And he was not put into a great situation. He was drafted by a GM and coached by a coach. We all kind of knew that they were likely out after that first year. And that's what happened. And then they had the reset. And then Fields is starting during a rebuild. And it just got messy. And he showed glimpses of what he's capable of this past season. It just was not consistent enough. I mean, you look at the passing game, really statistically, they're in the bottom third in just about all of them. And Fields at times looked good, but it just felt like a move that had to be made. And the upside of Caleb, number one, and Ryan Poles drafting his guy. And on top of that, I'd love to hear your thoughts on what the Keenan Allen move. And Caleb Williams is going to be entering a very good situation. Most top overall quarterbacks don't go to.
Yeah, it's night and day, unfortunately, you know, compared to what Justin Fields stepped into, as you mentioned. And I always go back to that, too, really quickly. Like, if the Bears didn't get the first overall pick, maybe we're having a different conversation. But they were kind of gifted, you know, a lottery pick and had to go this direction, in my opinion. So, yeah, look, the Keenan Allen trade in a vacuum, look, it's a bit of an expensive acquisition to send the 110th overall pick to bring in a 32-year-old receiver who's owed $23 million next season. But I think at the end of the day, we can't really quibble about that if we're going to talk about we want to surround a first overall pick quarterback with a really, really good foundation on offense and a good supporting cast to work with. So now you have two receivers that are, you know, all pro bowl level talents. And for me, I love how DJ Moore and Keenan Allen complement each other in an offense. They win in very different ways. You're going to have Keenan Allen, the most sure-handed guy in the league, maybe, over the middle of the field, still pretty good after the catch with his age, can make players miss in space, and is just so reliable between the 20s. And then DJ Moore, of course, is kind of the more physical, run after the catch, make guys miss with physicality, can win deep as we saw all last year, or can be that, you know, quick screen and take off after the catch type of player. So they just complement each other so well. And then you get DeAndre Swift. They have a three-back committee now. Cole Kmet and Gerald Everett is a really, really good 1-2 punch at tight end. And we saw last year, beyond Kmet, there really wasn't much there. And the offensive line, look, it's young. I really like the acquisition of both Coleman Shelton, the center, who was a starting center for Shane Waldron in L.A. a couple years ago, and then Ryan Bates, obviously, the trade acquisition, who can play all three interior spots. So they'll want to get better there, no question. They have the 9th overall pick. Maybe they go tackle. Maybe they go receiver again. But it's a really, really good opportunity. Rarely does a number one overall pick, because obviously that team is usually very, very bad, get to step into a situation even close to as good as this one in Chicago.
Yeah, and even going back to the Fields market, you know, on top of everything that has shaken out in free agency and with other trades, on top of that, it's a strong quarterback class, you know? So, like, that didn't help either when it came to the Justin Fields market, that teams that you thought, okay, maybe they can strike a deal with this team. It's like, okay, well, if you're a team in the first round and you need a quarterback, you're going to go that route. It is a deep class. How do you think the top of the draft shakes out outside of Caleb number one?
Yeah, so I think you are going to get 1, 2, 3 at quarterback. So, you know, I do think it'll be Caleb. I think it'll be Drake May, too. And I guess I think it'll be Jaden Daniels, number 3. That's going to get interesting. I think the draft kind of starts at the 3rd overall pick. Does New England consider maybe moving down? We'll see. I don't think it's impossible, but I think they probably do just stay and take a quarterback. And then for me, at 4, 5, 6, which is currently Arizona, the Chargers, and the Giants, that's where I think Minnesota will be trading up to one of those spots to go get the 4th quarterback. Is that Jaden Daniels? Is it J.J. McCarthy? Is it maybe Drake May? There are very varied opinions. You talk to some teams, and I talked to probably a half dozen in Indianapolis. Some had Drake May as their 4th guy. Some had Jaden Daniels as their 4th guy. It's kind of all over the place. But mainly, I think we are going to get 4 quarterbacks in the top 6 selections. Which, yeah, like you said, plugs a lot of holes for a lot of teams. And then I think it's receivers and tackles galore. And then defense starts kind of right around the Bears, might be where the first defensive player comes off the board. Atlanta at 8, I think, might take the first defensive player if I had to guess.
Yeah, so Bears at 9. Do you know, trading for Allen obviously opens you up a little bit in the draft. You're not desperate to take a receiver there. It definitely gives Ryan Poles some more options, but they are down to 4 draft picks. And do you see Poles remaining aggressive here, or do you see him acquiring more draft picks and moving down?
I think it'll be how the board falls. I do think if you're sitting there at 9 and one of Malik Nabers or Romo Dunze, I don't think Marvin Harrison will be there. But if one of those two guys is available, I'm running that draft pick in, probably the fastest draft pick in NFL history, if one of those two receivers is there. I think Nabers in particular is a special, special talent. We'll start to hear more talk about his neighbors better than Marvin Harrison. I don't know about that, but in 90% of draft classes, he's probably a number one. And Odunze is a really good player as well. So I think that would be how I approach it. If those guys are gone, I think they look to trade down. I think you're looking kind of in the early teens range. Let's see, maybe a 4th quarterback does make it to 9. Do the Denver Broncos or Las Vegas Raiders, currently picking at 12 and 13, do they maybe want to trade up and get out ahead of some other teams that maybe want to make a move? Or if not, if you're sitting there at 9 and everyone assumes the Jets are going to go tackle, can you get one of those same teams, who both, I think, need tackle help still, to jump up and try to get a young tackle? So then you're at 12 or 13, and then I think it gets really interesting. You go with maybe a Brian Thomas Jr. out of LSU, the other wide receiver that tested off the charts in Indianapolis, a very, very talented player. Or do you then consider, you know, a Byron Murphy, a defensive tackle from Texas, who I think might be the first defensive player taken, Dallas Turner at Alabama, I think is now more of a fit in Chicago. He put on a bunch of weight last year at Alabama. I think he could be a defensive end if you wanted to put on maybe some more weight. So that's kind of how I see it. Or maybe tackle, too. I love Braxton Jones. I think he's an ascending young player. But they may sit there at, you know, those early top 15 range and fall in love with the tackle prospect as well.
That was my next question, was what are your thoughts on Braxton? I mean, you kind of answered it, but if one of those top 2 tackles or top 3 tackles are there, that might be enticing despite Braxton being a 5th rounder who's looked solid. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, so here's my thinking there, is that first, I do think Braxton looks solid. 5th round pick out of Southern Utah, and I think outside of losing at times to speed to power, those you know, Myles Garrett, that matchup was obviously pretty ugly. Granted, that matchup was ugly for most tackles, but he, I think he's a great athlete in space, perfect for Shane Waldron's run game, and I think he does win against some of those smaller, bendier edge rushers. He just needs to put on some more weight, have a better anchor, and I would imagine two off seasons in an NFL weight room coming out of Southern Utah, like that's what they're working on, right? So I would have no issue if he is the starting left tackle next year, and I would even say this. If you take one of these names, not a Joe Alt maybe, but so the next rung of players, a Talise Fuaga out of Oregon State, maybe a Troy Fatanu out of Washington, those guys can play guard, and obviously they have, you know, Nate Davis and Tevin Jenkins, but Jenkins going into a contract year. Nate Davis, I do think, stays for 2024, but that might be the end of the road for him. So it might seem like it's a, you know, you're not addressing an immediate need, but 2024 is not about addressing immediate needs. It's building out a great foundation for Caleb Williams. So I wouldn't mind it at all. And then maybe they do take over at left tackle or what have you. But like you said, Ryan Poles has so many options at his disposal. There's no pick that needs to happen, which is a great thing.
That is a good thing. How would you assess Poles' offseason in general when it comes to free agency?
You know, I honestly like it. He came into Chicago and said, I'm going to be a draft and develop general manager that uses free agency for mid-tier additions to, you know, build out depth or address some, you know, non-premium positions, you know, interior offensive line, safety, off-ball linebacker. I don't know, he made a big old splash on Tremaine Edmonds. But he said from the jump that's what he's going to do, and that's what the good organizations in this league do. They rarely make a big, big splash in free agency. Maybe the time you do it is, let's say Caleb Williams is great in his first year, and then you have a Danielle Hunter-esque signing, like the Houston Texans just did for C.J. Stroud. They say, okay, we have the young quarterback. Now we'll make our splash, kind of like Khalil Mack with Mitchell Trubisky a couple of years ago. So I think the way he's approached it so far, be patient, spend on some, you know, spots that you they're easier to find in free agency. And then if you do think you have a rookie contract quarterback that has the potential to go deep in the playoffs, then maybe you do make that splash.
It's exciting to think about this upcoming Bears season with Caleb and with some additions they've made so far. I think most Bears fans, Brad, are thinking playoffs this upcoming year. I understand Caleb's there will be a lot of pressure on him as the starting quarterback, as a top overall pick. But they were a 7-win team last year, and they didn't look all that good, and they probably should have won 9 or 10 games too. And when you factor in the added talents and an extra year of experience for a lot of the younger players, I really do think that going into this year, I think most Bears fans are going to be thinking playoffs.
I don't think it's crazy. I think they are a 500 football team. Look, obviously, rookie quarterbacks, even special talents like Caleb Williams, are going to have their warts. They're going to have to work through some issues as they adjust to the NFL game, the speed of the game, the defenses they're seeing that they've probably never seen before. You know, so that's going to be there. But I think it is not unrealistic to think they could be a wild card team. I find it kind of difficult to think they're going to beat out the Lions and Packers to win the NFC North. But we know it's a down NFC overall, and the wild card teams in the NFC could really be anybody. So I don't think it's crazy. I wouldn't say it's an expectation of mine, but I really do think that they should be improved from last season. The schedule might be a little bit tougher, and some of those matchups might be tougher, but I think it's not crazy at all to think this team could be a wild card team right away.
Before I let you go, Brad, any free agent names out there that you think make sense for the Bears at this point?
Yeah, the last thing I would look to address is to get a pass rusher off the edge. Obviously not any major names left out there, but some very intriguing pieces. To me, there's Derek Barnett, who was a Philadelphia Eagle. I think the Bears had some interest last year before he got waived and went to Houston. He actually had a great end of the year in Houston for about a month. He was a really, really good pass rusher for them. So that's a name I'm keeping an eye on. Carl Lawson with the Jets, also a name the Bears explored adding last offseason before the season. He stayed with the Jets, signed a revised deal. Didn't play much. I think he's still working his way back from an Achilles injury from 2022. But a good pass rusher, a guy that can win quickly off the line. Both of those guys, I think, fit exactly what they need, which is quick off the line, good pass rushers. They have the run defense. They have the big base end like a DeMarcus Walker. They built out the interior. To me, I want a quick winner, a pure pass rusher off the line if they can get one.
Who do you think is the best pass rusher in the draft?
I would probably say Dallas Turner if I was talking edge rusher out of Alabama. And like I said, I wonder if he's viewed as a fit. He might be an outside linebacker to some, but he did put on, I don't know, 20, 25 pounds of pure muscle, I think, from his second to last season to last year. And then for me, it's Byron Murphy at Texas. I'm not in love with Jared Verse. We're going to see his name mocked to the Bears forever. He's a little bit older of a prospect. He's solid, but to me, I don't think he's worthy of a top 15 pick. And then I do love Laiatu Latu, who is the edge rusher out of Oregon, or excuse me, UCLA. Mm-hmm. But he had some medical issues. His arm's a little bit shorter. So we know what Matt Eberflus, and you know, they have all these measurables and thresholds. He's the best pure pass rusher in the class, no doubt about it. But I do wonder if he's on their board because of some other reasons.
That's Brad Spielberger from Pro Football Focus, a must-follow at PFF underscore Brad on Twitter. Brad, great insight. Really appreciate you jumping on the podcast once again.
Yeah, of course. Thanks for having me.
All right, that's going to do it for episode 85 of the WGN Radio Football Podcast. I'm Kevin Powell. Thanks again to Brad for joining me. Thanks to Brian Altimer and Ernie Skatton for their help producing the podcast. And thank you for listening. This is the WGN Radio Football Podcast.